This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منه رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. عما بعد فإن خير كلام كلام الله وخير حدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والشرع الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Dear brothers and sisters, today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about a story. And this story, many of you have probably heard before, but it is a story that reminds us of our sincerity and how sincere we should be with Allah Azza wa Jal at every step of our lives. With every moment that we move forward, we need to remind ourselves, am I being sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal? Am I being sincere with my deen? Are my intentions in the right place? Because indeed, shaitan is always watching over us. And he is always trying to lay traps and pitfalls for us. And sometimes they may be obvious, but many times they are very unobvious. They are hard to recognize. Because shaitan has had a long time to practice his skills. He has been a declared open enemy to mankind since the time of our forefather Adam alayhi salam. With his arrogance, he thus became ar-rajim, the rejected from Allah, and he let Allah Azza wa Jal know that his declared occupation from that moment forward would be to lead mankind astray and prove to Allah that this creation was not better than anyone else. This story is the story of a man from Bani Israel. His name was Barsisa. And he was known as Barsisa the Abid. Barsisa the worshipper. He was from Bani Israel. He was someone who believed in Allah, the one true creator of all that exists. He believed in Isa alayhi salam. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. Peace be upon him. And he was known as one of the righteous men of his town. And he used to caretake of the masjid, or the temple, or whatever they called it in that time. And there were three brothers who wanted to go out for jihad. They wanted to go out for fighting in the sake of Allah. There was some war or something happening, and they wanted to go out to fight. And they had a sister. And they were looking for someone to take care of their sister while they're gone, to look after her. So they asked around in the town, and they were told, take her to Barsisa. He's the most pious of us. For sure he will caretake of her properly. So they went to Barsisa. And they told Barsisa, will you take care of our sister? And at first Barsisa said, A'udhu billahi minashaytanir rajim. No, I won't do it. Because Barsisa understood the temptation. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not the one to do it. He sought refuge with Allah from shaytan. He said, no way, shaytan, you're not going to get me like that. That's too easy. I saw that one coming from a mile away. No. So they went to look for other people. And then later on, shaitan came to Barsisa in the form of waswasa, in whisperings, and said to Barsisa, Barsisa, what happens if they don't find anyone to take care of their sister? And they leave her with some bad person, and he abuses her. And you know what else he might do to her? Won't you be to blame for that? Aren't you the most righteous to take care of her? Shouldn't you do it? You know what to do. So shaitan understood Barsisa had a soft heart for people. He had a soft heart for people. So Shaitan knew how to come to him. So he finally told the brothers, look, I'll take care of her. But she stays at that house over there, and I stay here. I stay in my place of worship, and she stays in that house over there. So they said, okay, and they left. Every day when it was time for food, Barsisa would leave the food outside of his doorstep so that she could come out, come over and get it, and then go back. He didn't want to have any communications. I leave it here, you come and get it, and you go back. Now, Shaitan came again to Barsisa. And so far, Shaitan has only provoked Barsisa to do good. To do good, to take care of her. He's provoking him to do good. Shaitan comes to him again and says, Barsisa, have some sense, man. Don't you know that when you put the food outside of your door, she has to come all the way out, walk all the way across, get it and go back. And people see her. And they see that she's alone. What sense does that make? Why can't you just walk it across and put it on her doorstep? So Barsisa said, yeah, it's a good idea. You're right. Again, Shaitan is provoking him to do good. Make it easier for her. Don't have her come out and reveal herself. So Barsisa goes and he starts putting the door food on her doorstep. And then Barsisa again is approached by Shaitan through the whisperings. And he says, Barsisa, when she opens the door, people still see her. You didn't take it far enough. People still see her. Why don't you just take it and leave it on the table? You don't even have to see her. Don't go into her room. Just take it, leave it on the table and go out. Make it very easy for her. Again, Shaitan is provoking him to a good action. Make it easier for her. So Barsisa says, you're right. He goes and he takes it and he sets the food on the doorstep. Or he sets the food on the table. And he would leave. And then Shaitan comes again. So far again, he's just provoking him to do good. And there's nothing wrong with anything he's done so far. He tells him, Barsisa, her brothers have been gone for a long time. Maybe this jihad has lasted for months and months and months and months and months. She's all alone in that room. You don't even let her come out now to see the sun. Why not at least talk to her? Just talk to her. So Barsisa said, okay, you're right. Somebody should talk to her. This is oppressive. So he went and he would sit on one side of the door. And she would sit on the other side of the door. And they would talk through the door. But this caused them to have to scream at each other. You know, yelling and back and forth, screaming, oh, how are you? You know, back and forth. So Shaitan came again to Barsisa and said, Barsisa, what kind of sense do you have yelling at this woman? And you're making her yell. Why don't you just open the door and sit in the room? Why don't you just open the door and sit in the room? So far, Shaitan has provoked him to do good. And now, we, looking from the outside, can see the turn start to happen. But Barsisa doesn't see it. Because Barsisa, so far, this path has always taken him to good. So Barsisa says, okay, I'll sit inside the room. So he sits inside of the room, and now Shaitan has him right where he wants him. Because we know the Prophet ﷺ said, no man and woman are alone, and if they're not married, they're not mahrams. No man and woman are alone except Shaitan is the third party amongst them. So Shaitan has Barsisa exactly where he wants him. And they start conversating, and then they fall attracted to each other. And then one thing leads to another, and they commit zina. They commit zina. Barsisa has been tricked on this whole little path of doing good, until finally he commits a sin. And not only has he committed zina, but the woman becomes pregnant. The woman becomes pregnant. And she gives birth to the child. And Shaitan comes to Barsisa now and says, Barsisa, look what you've done. Don't you know what her two brothers will do if they come back? Don't you know what they're going to do to you? You have to get rid of the evidence. Kill the child. Get rid of the evidence. So Barsisa, in his confusion now, kills the child. Kills the child and buries it in that room. Then Barsisa is approached by Shaitan again and he tells him, Barsisa, do you really think that you're going to kill that woman's child and she's not going to say anything to anyone? Do you really think you're going to be able to kill her child and she keep quiet about it? You have to kill her too. So Barsisa kills her and buries her in the room as well. He goes outside and he builds a fake grave. A fake grave. And when the brothers finally return, they say, where is our sister? And Barsisa says, oh, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She got sick and she died. And I buried her right here. She got sick. I tried to do the best I could, but was beyond my capacity, so she died. So the three brothers, they said this, the qadr of Allah. It's the qadr of Allah, we can't change it. They accepted Allah's will and they went home. That night, in their sleep, shaitan came to one of the brothers and says, did you believe the story that Barsisa told you? Are you serious? Are you that gullible? Wallahi, he killed both of them. And they're buried in that room. And if you go and uncover that room, you'll find their bodies. You see, shaitan is the trick master. So when the brother wakes up, he tells the other two brothers what happened. And they say, by Allah, we had the same dream. They all three had the same dream. So they said, it must be true. So they went to the grave that Barsisa showed them and they dug it. And there was nothing there. So they went to the room, uncovered a rock, buried, dug a little bit, and they found their sister and a child. So they ran and snatched Barsisa up. And said, by Allah, you are going to pay for this. You're going to pay for this. So they started to drag him to the ruler. On his way of being dragged to the ruler, shaitan comes now in his clear form, who he is. And he tells Barsisa, do you know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. You know, I'm the one that have caused you all this trouble. I am the one that caused all this trouble to you from the beginning. And I'm the only one that can get you out of it. You're in a big mess now. You're in a big mess. He says, do you want me to get you out of it? And Barsisa says, yes, please get me out of it. Shaitan tells him, then make sujood to me. Make sujood to me and I'll get you out of this. So Barsisa, in his fit of anguish and trying to free himself from his punishment, he makes sujood to shaitan. And then what does shaitan do? He stands in front of him and says, see you later, Barsisa. I got what I want. And he leaves. That's it. He left him. He said, I got what I want. See you later. I am free of you now. I fear Allah, the Lord of all creation. And he left. And not long after that, very shortly after, Barsisa was killed for his crime. And Barsisa's last act in this world was to make sujood to shaitan. So on the day of judgment, Barsisa will be resurrected making sujood to shaitan. Complete kufr. Complete kufr. Now, look how deceitful our enemy is. He was provoking Barsisa to do good. Provoking, provoking, provoking. And all along, Barsisa thinks he's on a path that's going to lead him to good. So he's doing good. So he does not, he makes a failed mistake in not checking his intention the whole way. Checking his intention, like, hold on a second, wait a minute. Is this still pleasing Allah? Am I still doing the right thing? If he would have done that, he would have known the moment he's stepping foot in the house, hold on a second, I'm getting on a slippery slope here. Shaitan, you might be good, but you're not that good. But Barsisa fell into the trap. And shaitan was leading him on step by step, placing a little bit in front of him, a little bit in front of him, a little bit in front of him. Little did Barsisa know, he was drifting off from the straight path. Until shaitan got what he wanted, which was to make him commit complete kufr. Complete kufr. As Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ, like when shaitan says to man, disbelieve. And when he disbelieves, shaitan says what? بَرِيُّ مِنْكَ, I am free from you. I am free from you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I verily fear Allah, the Lord of all creation. So Allah tells us in Surah Al-Hashr, shaitan provokes man, come on, do something. Do this, do that, until he gets them to disbelieve. And when he gets them to disbelieve, shaitan will say, I'm free of you. I fear Allah. Because even though shaitan has rebelled against Allah and has been accursed for all eternity, he still knows who Allah is. He knows what Allah is capable of. He understands the power of Allah. So he doesn't want to stand near you. He has his own punishment. He's not going to take yours too. So he'll say, you know what? I'm free of Allah. I'm free of you. I fear Allah. So we might be able to think that shaitan is provoking us to do this or do that. But realistically, shaitan is just guiding us down a road. He is leading us. He cannot force us to do anything. On the day of judgment, when people try to blame shaitan, shaitan will say, whoa, 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 wait, wait a second. All I did was whisper to you. All I did was entice you. All I did was provoke you. You are the one who gave in. You're the one who gave in. So in this day, you have to accept your sin, I have to accept mine. That's it. Shaitan cannot be blamed for anything that we do. Because he only provokes us, and he has already been accursed forever. He's going to Jahannam forever. He just wants to bring as many people. You know, they say, misery loves company. Misery loves company. So shaitan wants as much company as he can get. And he will get a lot of company. He will have a lot of company. The Prophet ﷺ said on the day of judgment, Adam alayhi salam will be brought forward and say, bring all of those who are ready for the fire. And Adam alayhi salam will ask, Ya Allah, how many do you want me to get? He will say, out of every 1,000, bring me 999. So shaitan will have a lot of company. And this hadith is in Bukhari, authentic. He will have a lot of company. But ask yourself, are you heading in that direction or not? Because for sure, shaitan's job is not to be in the clubs and the night spots and the bars and in the churches and the synagogues. Shaitan is not there. He has told Allah where he will be. I will be on the straight path, walking around, trying to get people off of it. Because shaitan knows that the only people he's really worried about is us. Those who say we are on the straight path, shaitan is worried about you. So he puts a lot of time and attention towards you. And you have to be aware of it. Because the tricks of shaitan are very, very deceitful. He has a lot of practice. He has a lot of patience. He has more patience than any one of us. He has nothing but time. Nothing but time to spend to bring you off of the straight path. And never think foolishly that you have enough iman, or you have enough knowledge, or you have enough strength to take shaitan on directly. Never have that type of arrogance. I've seen this before. Brothers say, you know what, shaitan? Come on, bring it on. I dare you. I said, you are out of your mind. You are a fool, an idiot, to provoke someone like shaitan. Because for sure, he has more tricks up his sleeves than you have knowledge. For sure. He's been at this a long time. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran that the only ones who truly fear Allah are those who have knowledge. Those of the scholars who have sincere, deep-rooted knowledge, they would not even themselves command anyone or provoke anyone or even entice anyone to take on shaitan directly. No, avoid him at all costs. If you see him coming this way, go that way. If he's over there, go back. Turn around. Make a left. Turn right. Get away from it. Whatever you can do. This is why we say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. I'm seeking protection with Allah from you. We're not saying, come on, shaitan, bring it on. I don't never seen a dua like this from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And none of us are Umar. None of us are Umar, where shaitan will take a different direction if we're going down the same path. So don't fool yourselves into this. Also, Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds us in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu dukhulu fi silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter into Islam with complete submission and do not follow khutuwat al-shaytan, the footsteps of shaytan. Don't follow the footsteps of shaytan. Innahu lakum aduwwun mubeen. For indeed he is to you an open plain, declared enemy. Allah is reminding us, enter into Islam completely. This is your safety, your deen. So come into it completely. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Beautiful advice. Allah is reminding us that the completeness of our deen is a safeguard against shaitan. But the moment you decide, you know what, this little bitty part of Islam that I don't really grasp, I'm just going to leave it out. Maybe I don't really agree with this one thing. So you know what, I just leave it over there. Or I take some and I don't take it all. Or if it's coming from this source, I'll take it. From this person, no. This is the moment shaitan has begun to get you to follow his footsteps. Because for sure the safety of ourselves and our souls is in our deen completely. In our deen completely, without leaving any of it out, is how we safeguard ourselves against shaitan. Because Allah promised shaitan, you might be able to lead all of them astray, except for my chosen slaves. There will be some shaitan, you won't be able to touch them, because they have entered into my deen completely, and my protection is upon them, even from you. We have to seek this from Allah Azza wa Jalla, to enter into his deen completely and seek his protection and safeguard, even from shaitan, even from our own selves. Even from our own selves. And we have to remind ourselves of the farewell sermon of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said at the beginning, O people, beware of shaitan for the safety of your deen. He has given up all hope that you will follow him in big things. Shaitan has given up hope that we will follow him by worshipping sticks or rocks or stones or doing things outright. If Shaitan would have came to Barsisa right away in the beginning and said, Barsisa, make sujood to me. You think Barsisa would have given in? No. Barsisa would have said, get out of here, man. Are you out of your mind? Shaitan has lost hope in getting us in the big things. He said, so beware of him in the small things. Beware of him in the small things. And this is where Shaitan is beating us every single day, is in the small things. Maybe Shaitan cannot get you to make complete kufr. Maybe he can't get you to commit complete shirk. Maybe the only thing he can do is rob you of your good deeds. Maybe Shaitan will come to you in your salah and rob you of the khushu in your salah. Rob you of the sincerity of your salah. Maybe every act that you do, Shaitan will come with it and try to mix in a little bit of arrogance or a little bit of selfishness, something with it to rob you of your good deeds. And wallahi, if Shaitan has done that, then you are the people whom the Prophet ﷺ said are the bankrupt. Because when he asked his companions one day, he said, who are the bankrupt ones? They said, the ones with no money. He said, by Allah, no. The bankrupt ones are the ones who will come before Allah on the Day of Judgment thinking they have a mountain of good deeds, and then all of those good deeds turn into dust because they had something else mixed in with it. They had some insincerity mixed in with it. Maybe they had a little bit of arrogance, a little bit of selfishness. Something was mixed with it that Shaitan put into it, provoked them to put into it, that robbed them of all of their deeds. And on the Day of Judgment, they will have nothing. That's bankruptcy. To stand in front of Allah with nothing. For Allah to say, what do you have for me? And you say, I have nothing. So we have to beware of Shaitan even in the small things. Even in how we deal with one another, Shaitan, we have to realize, comes between us, causes dissension, causes disaffection, causes hatred, causes jealousy, causes whatever it is, ill feelings in our heart. We have to protect ourselves from that. Because for sure it is from nothing but Shaitan. To have some ill feelings between one another, this is the very thing that got Shaitan kicked out in the first place. This is the very thing that got him the entitlement, ar-rajim, rejected and accursed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also have to remember, Allah azza wa jal reminds us in the very last chapter of our book. The very last chapter of our book. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ I seek refuge from the Lord of mankind. The king of mankind, the God of mankind, from the whispering of the one who whispers inside. Who whispers inside of the breast of mankind. We are seeking refuge from this, from Allah Azza wa Jal. مِنَ الْجِنَّاتِ وَالنَّاسِ From the evil and the whisperings of the shayateen from amongst jinn wal-ins. We have to remind ourselves that shaitan doesn't work alone. He's not a one-man operation. He has many, many, many minions on his side. From amongst the jinn and from amongst mankind that are shaitan. So we have to be wary. We have to be vigilant. We have to constantly be on guard. Because we are fighting a war every single day of our lives. We're fighting a war every single moment of our lives. Against shaitan, against his minions, against our lower self. And we have to win this battle. Because this war will decide the victor will get the spoils of paradise. And the loser gets the punishment and wrath of Allah. So this is a war we can't lose. This is a war we cannot afford to lose. We can't afford to give up. We can't afford to surrender. We must fight it every single day of our lives. Every waking moment of our life. When Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, when his son said, when my father was going through a sakaratul maut, the pains of death, he was passing in and out of consciousness. I heard him saying, no, not yet. No, not yet. So I became worried. You know, he thought maybe my father at the last moment, maybe he's gotten weak. He's breaking down. He's saying, no, not yet. Not death. I don't want to die yet. So when his father woke up, he said, Father, I heard you saying, no, not yet. No, not yet. Who were you talking to? He said, Son, Shaitan was standing next to me. And as I was going in and out of consciousness, Shaitan was biting his fingers, saying, Oh Ahmed, I have lost you. Oh Ahmed, I have lost you. Look how deceitful Shaitan is there to the last moment. He said, I've lost you. Ahmed said, no, not yet. No, not yet. Not until my death. Not until my soul leaves my body, am I free from you. And I will fight you to the end. Shaitan never gives up on us. So we should never, ever give up on him. أقول كذا هذا واستغفر لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. We must every single day try to check our intention, check our niyyah. This is why Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, decided to begin his book with the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, every action will be judged according to its intention. And everyone will get for that which they intended. So we need to check our intentions. Because our intentions are going to form our actions. And our actions are going to form that which we will be judged by. So we need to check what's going on in here all the time. We know that Umar radiallahu anhu, he commanded people, take account of yourself before the account is taken for you. Take account of your own actions before the account is not in your hands anymore. When you die, your account is taken from you and it will be put in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So take your own account first. Ask yourself, is the sincerity of my actions there? Because Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, a man who has no sincerity in his deeds is like a man who travels and he puts inside of his water jug dirt. He puts inside of his water jug dirt. Not only does that dirt burden him because of its weight, but it provides him no benefit. So we ask to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for the sincerity of our deeds, inshaAllah. And lastly, there's a big fiasco going on nationwide. Current events. Nationwide, there's a big fiasco going on in many state senates. In many state congress houses, to so-called ban Sharia. Ban Sharia. This is a big thing, big fiasco. And a lot of brothers in Florida, where I'm coming from, they're dealing with it right now, yesterday as we speak. And that's where I moved here from. And it's happening all over the place. And if you think it won't eventually come to Minnesota, you're only fooling yourselves. This is a ramped up campaign. Now, can we blame Shaitan for this? No, we can't blame Shaitan for this. It's the actions of people. Can we blame the non-Muslims for this? No, because they have been taught to fear it. They have been taught that Sharia is a negative thing. That if Sharia comes, all of you are going to get your hands cut off, you're going to get stoned to death, you're going to get thrown in prison, they're going to force you to become Muslim, this, that, and the other. This is what they've been taught by the mass media. So we can't blame them for ignorance. But is there somewhere we can lay blame? For sure. Somebody has to be blamed. And I'm asking all of you today to accept some of this blame. Because we realistically have to take some of this blame, if not all of it. Because we know what Sharia is. We understand that this is the law, the way of life, that the creator of everything that has been existing has sent for them. It is a law from the creator of all that exists to his creation. And we know, as a yaqeen, as a certainty, that there is not one single commandment, one single prohibition, one single ruling, one single judgment in that law that is bad. And for us to say anything different, we have lost our entire deen. But have we conveyed that message to them? Have we conveyed to people what Sharia is? No, we have been very, very lazy in this respect. Not telling them what the Sharia is all about. Not showing them the realities of the Sharia. Oh, if the Sharia comes, they're going to get four witnesses and stone you to death. I heard this in Texas. I said, you know how many written cases there are of four people witnessing adultery and then the punishment being stoning? They said, probably thousands. I said, let me tell you, it's called zero. There's not one documented case. So you need to check your facts. But those facts need to come from authentic sources. And who has the more authentic source? We do. We have the book of Allah. We have the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this makes up the Sharia. This makes up the law given by the creator to all of creation. And lastly, If we were to sincerely show them and tell them and guide them to what the law of the Creator is. If I ask anyone, do you think a law that is just for every single individual, a law that made sure that every single human being is given their due rights, a law to make sure that no one is oppressed, no one is treated unjustly, no women are abused, no orphans are misused, no children are abused, no one steals from another, no one plunders from another, no women are raped, no people are abused, no old people are taken advantage of, no nation tyrannizes over another, the rich do not assert the rights of the poor have rights over the rich. Do you think this will be a good law to be instituted amongst human beings? No one in their right mind would say no. And I say, do you know what we call this in Islam? We call it Sharia. It is a just law that seeks the rights of every human individual. It seeks to fulfill on earth the purpose that we were created here for. And if that's wrong, then we'll be wrong. If that's wrong, then we'll be wrong. What is the song? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. If this is wrong, then I don't want to be right. I'll stay right here. And we will stand up for what we believe in. We will let people know the truth and the realities about this deen. If we had done that maybe a decade ago, we might not be going through some of the things that we're going through now. So we need to accept the blame and we need to apologize. We should apologize. We're sorry we haven't done our job. We have not clearly conveyed this to you. And we apologize for that. But from now on, we will be more clear. If you want to know what Islam is about, come. Our doors are open. Come, our doors are open. My house is open to you. My phone is open to you. Here's my email address. If you want to know what Islam is about, here it is. And those who want to know will come. They will come. And those who want to just create mischief, they will stay out there creating mischief. And those we let Allah Azza wa Jalla deal with them, because He has a special place for them. But we need to do our job, which is to convey simply the message of La ilaha illallah to the world. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا أَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر وعز الاسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان يرحم الراحمين وعدل الشرك والمشركين رب اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واسرافنا في امرنا وثبت اقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وسبحانك ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين